I've been sending our granddaughter lots of pictures of our St. Joseph County Fair in Michigan. She likes horses. I still think there are more horses per acre up there than here. You wouldn't think that, but there are Amish and Mennonites everywhere, and they have horses and they have wagons, and so when you go to the county fair, there are Clydesdales, there are Belgians, there are other riding horses, they're all over the place. Related to today's sermon, there are bonnets all over the place. All the Amish and Mennonites, all the ladies wear bonnets, not limited to church. They wear them all the time. In the school days, many girls wore bonnets. Now, my elementary school now speaks German. How's that for odd? You think you might have a whole school that speaks Spanish. The school lessons are in German. And everybody there at that particular building wears bonnets. So today's topic will come up in 1 Corinthians 11. Now, I don't want to speak the whole time on wearing head coverings about praying. So the first few verses will have a more main topic, and we'll give some minutes to that. And then come back to the bonnets, which actually is more complex, but I don't think is as important as the main topic. So please come to 1 Corinthians 11, and we'll look at verses 1, and we'll go down to verse 3. Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you because you remember me in everything and hold firmly to the traditions just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and the man, which means the husband, is the head of a woman, and God is the head of Christ. Verse 1, be imitators. It's not surprising. The Greek word for imitator is mimic. Be mimicking me as I mimic Christ. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is our example of how to live. And yet he's saying that Paul was kind of a sub-example, and we have this thing today whereby Christ is the full example. On the other hand, other people have often been examples to us. Usually parents and grandparents. Can be teachers, can be Sunday school teachers, can be church workers. So be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Verse 2 gives a new start. The word now in a past references to Corinthians. The Corinthians had written a letter to Paul asking questions. We can catch these questions by the phrase now concerning. That has already been done. He's already answered all the questions in the letter they wrote, but he is bringing in a new topic now. The new topic is actually public worship services, because the first part is about this head covering when praying, and the second part is about communion. So now is a new subject, and the subject is about public worship services. And verse 2 will say that he already taught them that he's repeating something that he had already said to them when he was with them and started the church. Now we have the word received and delivered. Verse 2, I delivered. Looking ahead to verse 23, we have received and delivered. Near the close of the book in chapter 15, we have received and delivered the gospel. Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. I just want to stress that the words received and delivered are things that a rabbi would use teaching students. And Paul is writing in his book that this actually was already old teaching, that they had already heard about communion. Or later they had already heard about the gospel. Here they had heard about the family order. Trying to give a date here. We can date the book of 1 Corinthians really well because it mentions Governor Gallio, and he's outside the Bible with his Roman philosopher brother Seneca. So Paul is writing about AD 55, 56, 57, and he's already saying the life of Christ was well known. Communion was well known. Head coverings were well known. Death, burial, and resurrection was well known. So by AD 57, this is already old material. You see, the liberals often say that nobody who knew Christ ever wrote a book. They often say that the information in the Gospels is after the time of the eyewitnesses. Well, it's very easy to date the book of 1 Corinthians. 55, 56, 57, he's saying here that the information about the family and the information about communion and the information about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection was already tradition by AD 57. It was known and written down much earlier. So this is kind of unrelated to a specific topic, but it helps with the dating of the information. Information on the life of Christ, information about head coverings and prayings and public service, information about communion, information about his death, burial, and resurrection. It was already old by the time that Paul wrote this letter in about AD 55. So we're going further and further back. Among the old information is the husband has authority at the home. That was taught already. Verse 3, we must stress, concerns married couples. The word the makes it clear. The man is the head of a woman. The man would say the husband is the head of his wife. This is specific teaching about the family. It's not teaching about overall gender. It would not be teaching that all women everywhere are under all men everywhere. They would not be saying that. It's talking about the family. It's not saying that single ladies are under any man at all. They are single. So we make that clear. And in terms of the position and value of the genders, that's the reason we've picked Galatians 3:28 for our scripture reading. Might have picked another one coming, but Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, you are all one in Christ. Well, there are Jew and Gentile, and there are slave and free, and there are male and female, but the point being, they are all of top priority to God. And so, in terms of top priority to God, men and women are equal in that. And if a lady is single, she is not under the authority of every man in the world. And this would be talking only about marriage here. Making a decision to get married. And then he has ultimate authority. The Bible talks a lot about the mouth. Talks a lot about communication. I think that needs to be put into here. That when there is a decision that needs to be made, it is best to have communication before a decision. 1 Peter 3:7, that would be another one that could have been a scripture reading easily. Husbands, dwell with your wives in an understanding way. Grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. In other words, if a decision has to be made, understand both people's opinion. And there are times when a decision could wait. Doesn't have to be done immediately. Maybe after a while everybody will agree, husband and wife. But there are times when there's a deadline. And somebody has to make a decision. So I would say after communication, the husband has the decision. Not all women under every man everywhere. It's the man, the husband. It's talking about married couples. Married couples have equality in value to God. There should be communication about any important decision. Maybe it can wait, but if it cannot wait, then the husband has the authority when there's a deadline, and that's what's being taught here. This part is not difficult to interpret. Maybe about the head coverings will be. This part is not difficult to interpret. I would not say it is welcome everywhere all through our society, but it is what the Bible teaches. Another related issue, one question is, did this start after sin entered into the world? Was it only that the husband has authority after sin entered into the world? And I would say no, because if we look ahead, like verse 9, it's talking about creation. Or like it was creation before the fall. It was kind of always intended to be this way. Lots of other verses on men having authority. Genesis 3:16, your desire shall be for your husband, he shall rule over you. That's Genesis 3:16, that is Old Testament. And we can't say that after the law of Moses was over, it stopped, because there are a lot of New Testament verses. And I actually picked out lines from them rather than whole verses, but there are a lot of them. 1 Corinthians 14:37, but let them subject themselves. Ephesians 5, and the whole thing would be 22 through 24, wives, be subject to your husband. Colossians 3:18, wives, be subject to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. 1 Timothy 2 is about the whole church, not just about families, but do not allow a woman to teach or have authority over a man. That's A. That's not just husbands, that's everything. 1 Peter 3, we mentioned about an understanding way, and communication, and grant her honor, and yet 1 Peter 3, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, own idea. Men and women are equal in person and value to God. Single women are not under any man. But marriage, try to communicate, try to come to an understanding. If both agree, that's for the best. If they don't agree, maybe can wait. If it can't wait, there is a deadline. And not difficult to interpret what's being said here. Now we come to the category about hats, bonnets, head covering. This is going to kind of be into the category of greet one another with a holy kiss. Okay, that's in the Bible, greet one another with a holy kiss. If we did this, the visitors would never come back. We'd probably lose some of our members now, but if we greet one another with a holy kiss, they'd never come back. So you're back to kind of, is it in the Bible? Or we can go back and forth whether it's in the Bible, but there are higher priorities, actually. To me, this is a little bit about communion. Should we have wine or grape juice? The Bible example would be wine. I just looked at our grape juice bottle. Mr. Welch is in the seventh generation. They were Methodists. Well, they wanted grape juice. They didn't want wine. That also is fruit of the vine. I think it's okay. It's kind of like wine or grape juice. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Wear a bonnet. Want a nice fight over that? So we will kind of look at the following, and I will kind of give, you'll see I kind of have an opinion when it's done, but I don't like to fight over it. I don't think it's worth fighting over the other churches that are different. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 4. Every man who has something on his head while praying or prophesying disgraces his head. But every woman who has her head uncovered while praying or prophesying disgraces her head, for she is one and the same as the woman whose head is shaved. For if a woman does not cover her head, let her also have her hair cut off. But if it is disgraceful for a woman to have her hair cut off or head shaved, let her cover her head. For a man ought not to have his head covered, since he is the image and glory of God. But the woman, he's the again, the wife, is the glory of a husband. For a man does not originate from a woman, but a woman from a man, Adam's rib. For indeed, man was not created for the woman's sake, but the woman for the man's sake. Therefore, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angel. Well, there are some subtopics here about, say, can women talk in church at all? We get to 1 Corinthians 14:32. It says, let your women be silent in the churches. On the other hand, I kind of think that relates to 1 Timothy that we already read, be silent in far as teaching men. In my opinion, I don't think there's any problem with women talking in church. I think he was telling them, don't be teaching men. I think that's clear. So don't be teaching men, but I'm not so sure it says don't ever have talking. Now I have a one view, two view, but I'm going to move it on because, well, I don't agree with one view or two view, so we could explain them. We'll get to the views now, though, is women should wear head covering, or women need not wear head covering. We'll just get to those views. The Amish and our Mennonite friends, they're all over Michigan. And you see them once in a while here, but they're all over where I'm from. They're every few acres. There's another one. Wagons and bonnets. Now, regarding head coverings, it looks to me like, at the very least, this isn't talking about everywhere all the time. That is their custom. Everywhere all the time. But at the very most, this is talking about church attendance. Let me talk about the Grace Brethren Church. We might not think this, but Grace Brethren are just like us, except for head covering and foot washing. And I think they baptize three times. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But if the Grace Brethren had a doctrinal statement, it is exactly like the Bible Church doctrinal statement, except they wash feet and wear head bonnets and dunk a little more than we do. Now, historically, they are Germans. Bible churches are historically more British. I do think it's interesting that they come out with about the same theology. What that means is, you know, in the pre-computer days and pre-telephone days, people are researching the Bible, and one are from the Germans and one are from the British, and they come out with just about the same thing from reading the Bible. The difference is they would wear head covering. One Grace Brethren Seminary is Grace Seminary in Winona Lake, Indiana. Very good commentary. I actually read their commentaries more than Dallas Seminary. You would think it'd be Dallas Seminary all the time. I actually read the Grace Brethren, Grace Seminary commentaries, and the most well-known one is John Whitcomb of the Genesis Flood, Whitcomb and Morris. But John Whitcomb was Grace Brethren. Well, John Whitcomb would have gone to a church where they would say, wear head coverings. And they would say, head coverings is taught here. Well, I do agree with them that we can't culturally get rid of commandments. We can't say that we can get rid of old commandments. The law of Moses was 1,400 years old when Jesus taught, and he was still obeying it. And the New Testament is 2,000 years old now. We can't say there are any commandments that are done. I agree with them on that. But do notice it's not talking about women wearing head coverings all over the place, like the Amish and the Mennonite do. It's not even talking about all of them in church. At the very most, you would have is somebody who's leading in public prayer. Now, if they want to be safe, what they have is head coverings for everybody all the way through the church. I don't think it's talking about that. At the most, it'd be talking about one person who's talking in public. But other than that, the Grace Brethren are very, very close to us. I think the main thing here is prophesying. I think the main thing to keep in mind is prophesying. Before the Bible was written, God had prophets. The prophets were the foundation of the church. There were Old Testament and New Testament lady prophets. Miriam, Moses' sister. Deborah and the judges of Deborah and Barak. Huldah. When Josiah's people found the Bible, they went to the prophetess Huldah. New Testament prophetesses. Acts 21:9. Philip, the evangelist, had four daughters who were prophetesses. However, there aren't any more prophets. And there aren't any more prophetesses. So in my opinion, head covering's okay, but head coverings were for prophetesses, and there aren't any. The prophets were the foundation of the church, apostles and prophets, Ephesians 2:20. There are no apostles. An apostle had to have seen the risen Lord. Nobody can write a book today to say this is apostolic and you should add it to the New Testament. No one today is a prophet in the sense that God gives them revelation which all Christians everywhere have to obey. So I think there are no prophets. I think there are no prophetesses. So that kind of makes sense here in the sense that, yes, if there were a prophetess, she should have a head covering. It's only talking about one here, not talking about everybody. If there were a prophetess, she should have a head covering, but there are no prophetesses. Now, to be safe for compliance, the Grace Brethren, they have all their ladies wearing head coverings. And they're just like us, except for little things like that. But I don't think it's talking about all ladies at all times. It's just talking about one, talking about a prophetess. And there are no more prophetesses. So we did look at the Catholic channel this morning, and the ladies there, when they were sitting up front, they had head coverings also, getting ready to pray and to have the Catholic communion. I think there's nothing wrong with churches to be safe, like our Grace Brother and friends and these Catholics, to be safe to have head covering. On the other hand, there aren't any prophetesses. There aren't any. We are past the foundation period of the church. We are past when God gives direct revelation that all people everywhere have to obey. We're not in the foundation anymore. So I actually think this doesn't happen. Or you could say, culture doesn't change commands, but this sort of thing doesn't happen. There's no lady or man anywhere now that can get up and say, God gave me a prophecy that all Christians everywhere have to do. So, I think irrelevant. The first part about marriage and the family is easy to understand. It is relevant. The second part, no prophetesses. Other thoughts coming in verses 11 through 16. That will be all we look at today. Verse 11. However, in the Lord, neither is a woman independent of a man, nor a man independent of the women. They actually need each other. For as the woman originates from the man, Adam, so also the man has his birth through the woman, Eve, and all the mother. And all things originate from God. Judge for yourselves, it is proper for a woman to pray with God with her head uncovered, for does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory, doxis, like doxology, to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. But if one is inclined to be contentious, we have no other practice, nor have the churches of God. Hair for women is a glory. In the Bible, God gets the most references to glory, but we have stars, flowers, bride on her wedding day. Here, women's hair. The woman is the glory of a man. That would mainly mean specifically a husband. Women's good looks are positive, and husbands like the good looks, though that is not really something that is asserted at church. 1 Peter 3 calls it adornment, and relative to adornment at church, it says not only external, but adornment of the heart. So we have here... husbands have authority over the wives. It's not talking about all men and all women. We have here that when there was a time of prophecy, a prophetess would cover her head. We did read that in 1 Timothy 2, it also fits that women could talk in church but not be teachers or pastors or elders over the men. So women can teach other women, and women can teach other kids, and women, I think, could talk in church, dealing mostly with praying or testimony, and not so much. There are other subcategories here that angels watch us. Another subcategory of men and women are actually interdependent. I'm about ready to say that the country is getting dumb, but the genders are different. Good. Heavens, how simple. The genders are different, clearly biblical. The genders are interdependent. All women came from Adam's rib through Eve. All other men are born through their mothers, and they are independent, and they actually need each other. So we get here to the long hair. Women had long hair. I think men did not have as long a hair as women in Bible days, but I don't know how long. Hebrew men did not shave their head. So somewhere, when you think of Jesus and the apostles, it wasn't so much shaved unless they were Nazarites. And then they had really long hair, and then they would cut it off. But typically, they would have some hair. Women would have longer hair. I do not know the length. I do know that men and women look different, but I do not know the exact length that's being talked here. Relative to other things that are related but not really here is when did the Jewish men start wearing their hats? And I looked that up, 17th or 18th centuries. From the wording here, it would look like Jewish men didn't wear hats yet, from what is being said here. So, 17th and 18th century. Concerning women and head coverings, a lot of Catholics still do it. It is welcomed, although it is no longer required. Well, easy that men and women are equal. Easy that if married, husbands have the final authority, though there should be communication. And we will let the head covering topics go and get to communion next time, which will be a little bit easier. Will you come, please?